Without any further delay, let's give a warm welcome to our lead pastor, Pastor Joe Source.
I just got done saying I didn't like clapping, right? No, I'm kidding. You praise God, we're lifting our hands by praising. We praise him by lifting our hands, but we can clap for one another. Amen? Okay, praise God. So listen, don't forget that Thomas Carano, Pastor Pam's dad, Pastor Tom's dad, but it's also Pastor Cap's father-in-law. So make sure that you give your condolences. Also, he's my uncle. I don't know if you realize that, because many of you, some of you may not know that Pastor Pam and Pastor Tom are my first cousins. So their mom and my mom are sisters. So Tom Carano has been in my life since I'm 9 years old. So we ask you to please come out. This is a big deal. This is a major, major personality in our family that has gone home to be with Jesus. The Lord gave him a glorious, peaceful transition. And we miss him, but we look forward to seeing him again. Hallelujah. Okay. We're going to go back into the message from last weekend. How many of you were not here last weekend? Okay. Well, that's not too many. Wow. Praise God. That's doing good. So I could sum up the whole message from last weekend. God wants us to put him first. Amen. Okay, we got a couple of amens. I said God wants us to put him first.
Amen.
And he's given us a mechanism and a method for us to give evidence of him being first. Okay? Now, I don't know how else to preach this kind of topic, because we're talking about the tithe. Say that word, tithe, okay? It is a principle in the scriptures. I would not be a pastor worth a hill of beans if I skated through pastoring and never talked about this topic, because it's a major deal. It's a major principle. It's a major part of the equipment that God's given us so that we don't suffer under the pressure of financial hardship all through our stay here on this earth. And we realize when we get to heaven, the stuff we consider precious here, they pave streets with. Okay, it's a whole different system. But while we're here, we understand that finances are a priority. God knows that. God knows that you and I need money to function on this earth. Just like if we still live in an agricultural society, God knows that we would have needed rain. God knows we would need seed. God knows we would need to know how to raise animals and cattle and things of this nature in order to survive. It's the same principle. It's the demonstration of the love of God towards his children, the providing principles to us that when we cooperate, would you say that word, please? Cooperate. When we cooperate with him as it pertains to our finances, then we put into action these principles, and they are for good for us. Okay, God's not trying to get something from you. He's trying to set you up to get something in you.
Amen?
Amen? So let me just review real quick, and then I want to go through some more of these things here, because I really could sum up the whole message tonight, and we could all go have coffee and go home to say this. Pay your tithes, give offerings, good night. That's what it comes down to. Now let's clarify something here. Because it's inevitable that any time when a pastor has to talk about finances, you got somebody there going, oh, just trying to raise more money for the church. Stop it, please. You're not the source. I'm not the source, even though my last name is Source. Who is our source? Ultimately, it all comes from him, because ultimately it all belongs to him. So if you would just get yourself out of the way and understand and realize, we're just playing Monopoly here. He gives us what we need so we have fun. He gives us what we need so that we can cooperate with him. We could see how exciting it is that when we have our faith in God and our trust in God and we cooperate with his principles, the stuff that he says is going to come to pass actually comes to pass.
Amen.
Are you listening?
Yes.
Because it's based on love and honor that we're supposed to have towards God.
Amen.
Now, if I say to my wife, okay, we've been married, we'll be married 48 years this August. 48 years. 48 years. No, I'm kidding. God bless that woman. Okay? Now, if I never, ever, ever, throughout the 48 years, if the last time I said I love you was the day we got married, something's wrong. If I never brought, never came home and brought her a flower, never bought her a gift, never helped her with around the house, never helped her with the kids, never provided, never brought home a paycheck, never, if I never did any things, how can I honestly say that I love my wife? You got really, really quiet on me that time. How can I say? Because she could think, for all these 48 years, I've seen very little evidence, say evidence, I've seen very little evidence that my husband actually does love me. Yes or no? God's given us a method to show him that we're putting him first and that we're acknowledging that everything we have has come from him. So let's get into Malachi chapter 3. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on tithing because I want to talk about something else that's going to reinforce the principle of the tithe. But I also want to make sure that tonight, before we leave, I got to do this quick, that we understand the difference between a tithe and the offerings, okay? This is something you got to get because most Christians do not understand. And how do we know most Christians don't understand? Let me put it to you this way. Now, just right off the bat, I do not see the offerings that come in here. This is an agreement that we had 27 years ago when we first started the church. I don't want to see who gives, who doesn't give. Because I'm human just like you. I don't want to be tempted to have an attitude with somebody if they don't give, and I don't want to be tempted to try to treat somebody special if they do give. Amen. So I don't know what you do. It's between you and God. All I know is this. We have a very generous congregation. Amen. And this church, this ministry is solidly, we're good. Amen. I wish my businesses that I had in the past did as well as this ministry, okay? Where was I going with that? Let's just jump into Malachi. Oh, that's what I was going to say. I don't know who does what. I really don't. I can tell if I look at a person's lifestyle. I can tell by looking at a family. I can tell by looking at children. I can tell because there's certain identifying marks that go along with a family that is practicing the tithe. Okay? Doesn't mean you're never going to have challenges. But man, it's a whole lot better to walk through a challenge knowing that you're in covenant with God and your money's been stamped by God, okay, than to go through it on your own. So what I'm trying to tell you is this. I want every single person in this congregation to tap into those principles for yourself so that you don't go through life, oh my God, I have no money. I don't have a car. I don't have a place to live. I have no food for my kids. Because when we're and listen to me, I know what it's like to be tempted to be preoccupied with financial stress. We went through a bankruptcy. We lost everything. I worked for years and years and years, decades, and they got wiped out in just a couple of years. I know what that's like. Trust me. And maybe this is why I'm so sensitive to this subject, because if there's any place that I've seen God come through for my wife and I, it's been in the area of finances and in the area of healing. So you hang around me, you're going to always heal. You're going to hear about healing, you're going to hear about finances, okay? I want it for you, because when you're under that weight of, I don't have any food in the refrigerator, the cabinets are empty, there's nothing but the refrigerator but the light bulb, okay? When you're worried about where you're going to sleep tonight, what are you going to drive, what are you going to wear, when you worry about all those things, you're preoccupied. And you're preoccupied with the wrong priority, because our priority should be salvation. Amen. But when you're so worried about, I don't have a box of cereal for my kids, you're not going to be concerned about your unsaved neighbor across the street, because you're too are you getting this?
Yes.
So this whole prosperity side of the Word of God is to free us so that we can do the Matthew 28 side of the gospel. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. It's extremely difficult to keep that number one priority when your kids don't have food, when you got four flat tires, when you got a hole in your roof, when you're so bound up by need, it's just almost humanly impossible to take your eyes off of that. And that's why there's According to what we read last week, over 800 scriptures in the Bible pertaining to money and finances. Okay? It's up to you whether you want to grab. I'm throwing this out at you. Look, I am convinced. I've been convinced for 41 years that this stuff works. Amen. It's up to you if you want to jump on board. Now, I will tell you this much, but I want to make sure I say that now so I don't forget. This ministry is prosperous. Amen. Some of you are not excited about that because you don't understand what it means to be part of a church. Okay? Hook yourself up to this train. Because the blessing of prosperity that's on this ministry will get on you if you start to see yourself as, I'm in line with everybody else. Whatever God tells this church to do and we accomplish, I'm right there with them. If you start seeing that, and I'll tell you what, when I hear somebody mention in conversation, well, when I came to your church, or I like your church, wait a second, it's not my church. Are you not part of this church? If you're part of this church, then start referring to it as you being part of this church. You see, what you're doing, subconsciously, you're telling me you haven't hooked up to the caboose yet. You haven't hooked up. Now, let me tell you something, okay? Psalm 133 talks about an anointing coming from the head and going down to the body. That anointing is on this ministry. You want to prosper? Start seeing yourself as part of this ministry. Because the hand of God has been on this ministry from day one. We, the first service we started this church, we had a full music ministry. We had a full children's department. Okay? That doesn't happen. That there's churches that for the first 5 years, they're still using CDs for worship. Now, is that bad? Are they inferior? No. But maybe if they pressed in and started to believe God and trust God for things. God's always given us the best. God has always given us everything. Now, you might sit there and say, oh, he sounds haughty. I don't care. I know it's true. Amen. I'm making my boast in the Lord. I'm not boasting on me. I came to this ministry. We started this ministry. We didn't have two nickels to rub together. God did this. Yes. God did this. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Malachi chapter 3, starting in verse 8. I'm going to start with the heavy duty scripture. Last week I started in verse 10 because I didn't want to hit everybody between the eyes. Okay, but tonight we don't have time to fool around. Turn around and say, hey, nobody got time for that. You ready? Verse 8. This is. Look at me and understand this. Receive this message from the heart of God who loves you and doesn't want you to be scrounging your whole life. Okay? God is speaking to the nation of Israel through the prophet Malachi. And this is the indictment that he makes against that nation. Verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what have we robbed you? He says, in tithes and offerings. Verse 9, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Man, that's serious when God indicts an entire nation. Look at how far they got away from their roots. Verse 10. Now he's going to remind them of the commands that he spoke to them through Moses in the book of Leviticus. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be what? Food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. Lord of hosts. Not if you're Catholic, you got mixed up just now, just like I used to. This is not the hosts he's talking about. He's talking about armies. Armies. Thus says the Lord of armies, heaven's armies, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there would not be room enough to receive it. Verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Who's the devourer? Satan. So that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. What does the tithe provide for? What's he saying? I just want to move on from here. What God's saying, the first 10% of your increase belongs to me, God says. Yes. If you'll cooperate with that, in exchange, I'll take care of it. Look, here it is. Here. What does the tithe provide? food in my house, and to also help those in need. Provision in the church for the gospel to go forth. He said, I'll open the windows of heaven to pour out provision, but when you open the windows of heaven for the provision to come out, it also allows the light from heaven to come out and allows you to get a glimpse of what's on the other side of that window. Amen. Nobody talks about this. God's saying, if you'll cooperate with me with this thing here, I know that I have your heart. And I know I can trust you with these things. And I will give you, as I'm pouring out from heaven, I'm going to allow you to get a glimpse of through that window. What's it telling me? Supernatural revelation from God. Supernatural revelation from God. It'll get better. Unlimited blessing in quantity and quality. Abundance, larger harvest than what is sown. Protection of investments and possessions. Okay? God says, put me first, bring me your first, so that there's provision in my house. That means it's direction and purpose for our money. And when money has a divine direction, it takes on divine purpose. It is no longer natural money, but supernatural money. God says, when your finances are marked for my use, then I will assume responsibility for defending your sources of income, investments, jobs, and businesses. Amen?
Amen.
We don't bring our tithes to get something from God. We bring our tithes to thank God for all he's already done. It's a matter of thanksgiving, worship, and honor. Well, I don't know if I see it that way, Pastor. You not seeing it that way doesn't change it. It just puts you on the outside of it. Just like people will come, especially if you come from a denominational background, and during worship, why do we have to raise our hands? I didn't raise my hands where I was before. Why do I have to raise my hands? Why can't I worship God like this? Because God says, when you worship me, I want you to raise your hands. He created everything. You're his. The arms and the hands that you want to decide what you're going to do with, he created. Okay? Now, if you refuse to, once you receive revelation of that, don't be surprised if everybody else in the room is experiencing the presence of God, but you're standing there like this. Why? You're not cooperating with him. Isn't that simple? You're not cooperating with him. I'll go back to the original illustration I had over the years every time I talk about the subject of worship. Okay? If you come to my house on my birthday and you tell me, I want to honor you, Pastor Joe, I want to come to your house, and you ask my wife, what kind of cake does your husband like? I want to bring him a birthday cake. Okay? And she says, he loves chocolate cake. But you say, well, I like carrot cake. I'm going to bring him carrot cake. Well, then you didn't bring the carrot cake for me. You brought the carrot cake for you. You eat it. Especially if it has raisins in it. What did you do? You decided how you were going to honor me when you were already told, if you want to honor him, bring chocolate cake. Well, I don't know if I feel comfortable. It's got nothing to do with you feeling comfortable. When did it become about you feeling comfortable? It became about obedience. And honor, and loyalty, and putting him first. Yes or no?
Yes.
Of course the tithe doesn't feel comfortable, because you haven't gained a revelation. It was never yours to begin with.
Yes.
Let me throw you another one. You go to work for a company, okay? And you start a business, and you have a silent partner, okay? The person, he's fronted all the money for this thing. He's fronted all the money. He said, I'll put all the money up. You do the work. Just at the end of the week, give me the first 10%. If you refuse to give that 10% and you pocket it for yourself, what are you labeled as? An embezzler. An embezzler. Why? Because it wasn't your money to begin with. He put everything up. Gave you the opportunity to earn 90%, and you weren't satisfied with that. You had to take the other 10% too. What do they do with embezzlers when they catch them? You put them in jail. I know some of you don't like this, but I like my job. I'm going to keep preaching. Now, let me skip around here because the time is going by here. Tithing creates a bond between us and God that affects every part of our relationship. Tithing makes a statement to God, a few other opportunities offered. That statement is, I trust you, Father, with the very lifeline of my earthly being. It's a matter of trust. I've mentioned this before, I'm going to keep saying it. New Beginnings thrives because we are constantly receiving a harvest based on the hundreds of thousands of dollars that we have sown since day one. There are ministries all over this area, over the state, our country, and around the world that NBC has sown into for the past 27 years. Amen. We do so because every dollar we've ever given proclaims two things. Number one, God, we honor you for who you are and what you've done. Number two, God, we trust you to be the very lifeblood of this ministry. NBC will never lack what it needs to accomplish what God has called us to do because God is true to his word. Amen. Now, consecrating my finances to God brings my money out of the natural realm and into the spiritual realm. Amen. It causes me to see myself, listen to this closely. This is what I'm talking about before when I talked about how you see yourself in relationship to this church. It causes me to see myself as an agent of God on the earth. Abraham brings a tithe to a man named Melchizedek, king of righteousness in Hebrew. Okay? That act of honor in Genesis 14 triggered the blessing of Genesis 15. As soon as Abraham brought that tithe to Melchizedek, the very next thing you hear from God saying to Abraham is, you work for me now. Go read it, Genesis 15, write it down, Genesis 15. God says, I am your recompense. That's an old English word for I am your paymaster. In other words, you're on my payroll from now on, Abraham. Everything that belongs to God must carry the mark of God. You ready for this one? Everything that belongs to God must carry the mark of God. Do you belong to God?
Yes.
Do how many? Let me see your hands. Who belongs to God? Who belongs to God? Don't be lazy. Okay. You carry a mark in you, do you not?
Yes.
Yeah, it's called the seal of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the realm of the Spirit, it is seen, it is known, it is perceived. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were what? Sealed in who? In him. With what? The Holy Spirit of promise. So there's a mark on us, yes or no?
Yes.
Everything that belongs to God should be marked, right? Got to have a mark, belongs to me. Good, okay. In the Old Testament, circumcision was given so that every male would carry within their body the mark that they belong to God.
Amen.
Genesis 17, verse 10. This is my covenant with you and your descendants. God speaking to Abraham. The covenant you are to keep, every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision and it will be the sign of the what? The covenant between me and you. The mark of circumcision states that this person is in covenant with God. Therefore, God assumes all responsibility for the welfare, protection, and provision for that person. Listen to me closely. Try to get this in your heart. I do not think that it's a coincidence that God required the mark or seal of circumcision to be located in the part of the body that involves reproduction, multiplication, and increase. What circumcision is to the body, the tithe is to our finances. Our money must be marked by what is missing. I don't want to get too graphic here. That first 10%? First. Come on. It makes sense. That's the mark of the covenant. So then, are you keeping your finances outside of the covenant with God? It's up to you. A covenant partner is to honor the senior partner. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Are your finances marked for God? Do they declare that they are in covenant with God? Are your finances honoring God? Or is it that part of your life that you've kept on your own? Well, you're free to do that. Nobody goes to hell for not paying their tithes. You're free to do that. However, understand that you're keeping them outside of God's reach. And therefore, if they're outside of God's reach, they're outside of God's protection. Now, he has mercy on us. I talked about this last week. God doesn't go, hey, tonight's your last night. If you don't fill out that check tonight, the ground's going to open up. You're going to get swallowed. No. But listen, understand this. It's one thing to live under the mercy of God. It's a whole other thing to live under the grace of God. We talked about this last week. Mercy just keeps you on hold. Mercy just keeps you on hold. Do you want to just be on hold? No, I don't want to be on hold. I want to live in the realm of increase. Increase can only come by God's grace. All right, we'll keep going. Did you get it?
Yes.
All right, you got it now. The tithe doesn't belong to us, it belongs to God. Everything we have belongs to God. All he's asking for, first. 10% without being first is not the tithe. Okay? First. Why? Because it's a demonstration of faith and a demonstration of trust. You listening to me?
Yes.
Well, Pastor, it's really hard. Good. Because that means when you are obedient, even though it's really hard, you're really showing God that you trust him.
Amen.
You know, I saw this, and honestly, this is both tithe and giving, and we're going to go into that now. When we were very prosperous in our business before I got saved, we gave, we were givers, but it was like, yeah, go ahead, what do you want to do? I don't care here. But then when bankruptcy hit, when the tough times hit, it seemed like the smaller financial amounts that we would give seemed like they triggered bigger blessings than when we could give the thousands. Are you listening to me? I would look back and go, how is this possible? You know, a year ago, 2 years ago, we would go and pay off somebody's tuition in school and pay off a car, make a car payment, make a mortgage payment. Yeah, go ahead. What do you think we should? I'd give a couple thousand. It was there. But then when it wasn't there anymore, we didn't stop and go, oh. But when we gave, it was more sacrificial giving. But sacrificial giving displays more faith in God than when you're giving out of abundance.
Yes.
When you give out of abundance, it's no sweat, because you know, yeah, there's plenty more where that came from. But when you're relying on, oh, Lord, you know, we got bills to pay, but I'm trusting you first. I'm not even going to look at anything else. I'm going to trust you first. We saw more return and blessing on the smaller amounts that we gave, but we gave them first than we ever saw on the bigger amounts. Are you listening?
Yes.
All right, so let's talk about now the difference between the tithe and the offering. Well, Pastor, I didn't know there was a difference. I know, apparently, okay. But let me just put it to you this way. And again, I don't see the offering envelopes, but if you're giving an offering and it's $5 and you write on the envelope tithe, do you expect God to believe that you're living on $50 a week? So what's your point? No, my point, if five is all you have to give, that's your offering. Don't mark it down as tithe. Are you getting this?
Yes.
Let me see, how offended are you guys getting? Because that'll tell me how much truth I'm preaching here. I'm just trying to help you. Because I know there's a lot of newcomers to this church. This is the first time you're hearing stuff like this. But I love you. And especially young people. Start practicing this now.
Amen.
Do not wait for later. Start practicing this now so that you've got a tremendous harvest waiting for you when you need it. All right, so let's talk about the difference between the tithe and the offering. All right, let me read to you from 2 Corinthians. I'm going to jump right down to 2 Corinthians 9 for the time's sake, okay? 2 Corinthians 9, 6. Is it up there?
Yes.
Remember this, whoever sows, say sows. Whoever sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. Common sense. If I plant 3 tomato seeds, I'm going to get a limited crop. If I sow a tremendous amount of tomato seeds, I'm going to get a bigger crop. Common sense. You don't even have to go to school for this one. Okay? Whoever sows sparingly, reaps sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Verse 7. Watch this now. I want you to pay attention for the subtle differences here. Each one of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. And really, in the original language, it says hilarious. If you can't get hilarious about your giving, keep it. You're going to need it. If you can't get cheerful, we get excited about giving. We get excited about giving. I know how much it blesses God. I'm talking about beyond the tithe. Okay? The tithe is one thing. Giving offerings is another thing. Amen. All right, let me read through this and then we'll break it down. I'm doing it as quick as I can. Each of you should decide in your heart to give. I can't help it. I got to say it. In the tithe, do you decide what to give?
No.
God tells you what to give.
Right.
Big difference, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, not reluctantly or under compulsion. You should not give under compulsion. Nobody should go, oh, I have to give because Pastor preached tonight. You know, if I don't give, it's going to go well. No, you have the wrong attitude. If you do not give and you haven't been a giver and you haven't been a tither, start doing that because you received a revelation from the Holy Ghost based on the Word of God. Hey, this is real. I need to do this.
Yeah.
Don't give with wrong motives, okay? And verse 8, God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Verse 10, it's extremely important. Now, he who supplies seed to the
sower.
I'm going to say it again, give you a chance to repeat that word. Now, he who supplies seed to the
sower
and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Number one difference, the tithe is giving back to God that which is already his. We give him 10%, we have 90% for our needs, to take care of our families, to save for our future, leave an inheritance, to supply the work of spreading the gospel, feeding the poor, caring for those in need. All of that comes out of that 10%. Offerings are supposed to come out of the 90% that we get to keep. It is sacrificial in nature. Number two, the tithe is commanded. God directs us to set aside the first 10%. In offerings, it said in verse 7, each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. In giving offerings, we have permission from God to decide within our own heart how much we want to give. Of course, we should be consulting the Holy Spirit to show us the will of the Father. Whenever there's an offering to be given outside of what we normally give, let's say God puts it on our heart to bless somebody. We're going to gift someone something, or we like to look at it as investing in somebody. I'll say to my wife, okay, I got a number in my heart. What do you got? 99% of the time, we have the same number in our heart. Why? Because we're one flesh. We're one spirit joined together. Amen?
Amen.
Are you listening to me? But the Holy Ghost has given us, all of us, the opportunity to decide, what do you want to do? What do you want to give? Now, we should be hearing from him. And watch this now. If God speaks a specific number for you to give, whether it's in the regular offering, or if it's in a special offering, or if it's to bless somebody, you can be guaranteed he picked that number to give you because he's setting you up for a blessing in the future. Because the seed never comes back the same way. You plant one seed, you get one fruit?
No.
Well, you get multiple fruit. You get multiple, but you plant one pepper seed, what do you get, one pepper?
No.
If you do, you better pluck it up or go check out what's going on in your ground. Something's wrong. You plant one seed, does one seed's worth come back? No, a multitude comes back.
Amen.
Come on, guys, you go to sleep on me or what? It's the same way with finances. You give $10, God's not going to send you $10 back. God's going to send you a multiple of that because you stepped out in faith. And he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Are you getting this? Keith, are you getting this? Is it easy? Am I presenting it clear? Thank you. Tithing is not seed. We're not sowing our tithes. We pay our tithes.
Amen.
You getting this?
Yes.
Tithing is not sowing. Tithing is, I'm working with you, God. I'm giving back to you what is yours. Okay? We listed all the benefits of tithing before. Abundance of harvest, protection over the sources of your incomes. He goes on to say later that I'll make you a delightful land. In other words, everybody's going to talk about the prosperity that you walk in because it'll be evident that it came from God. Those are all the benefits of tithing. It's offerings where you got the real chance to increase in the things because you determine how much seed you're going to. You determine how much. Now watch this now. I want to go to this very important part of the scriptures here. Are you getting anything tonight?
Yes.
Or are you just humoring me? Are you getting anything tonight?
Yes.
Watch this now. Look at this. Tithing is not seed because of the mark of the covenant. Its purpose is to identify ownership.
Amen.
That's a good one. Okay. Offerings are seed. Verse 10. Now he who supplies seed to the who?
Sower.
And bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed, which causes you to be able to give even more the next time, and will enlarge your harvest of righteousness. Now, he supplies seed to the who?
Sower.
Not seed to the ones who keep it in their pocket. As long as it stays in your pocket, it's not seed. It's not good. What? Because it has to get planted. Get planted. I guarantee you, some of you in your garages, I don't do this because I never plant. I don't plant. I don't have time to plant stuff. Okay. Some of you, I bet you have packets of seeds in your garage for over a decade. You notice they didn't produce anything? They're still sitting in those packets. Why? Because you, what do you got to do with a seed? You got to, so look, watch this now. So you got to temporarily say goodbye to, bye, Mr. Seed. Goodbye, Mr. Seed. I'll see you when you come up. Some of you, when you give your offerings, you're going, I'll never see it again. As the bucket goes by, I'll never see it again. Goodbye, money. Goodbye. And guess what? You shall have whatsoever you. Because you're not looking at it as seed. You're looking at it as an obligation. God supplies seed to the who?
Sower.
Sower. And bread for food. Look at how much he loves us. He's telling us, I know some of this is food for you, for your family, to pay your bills and everything. I know that. So don't plant your bread and don't eat your seed. He gives us the balance there. There's some of it that's bread and there's some of it that's seed. Okay? Now, so why, what do you, Pastor, I don't understand what you're saying. Let me explain it to you in real life. I know, I've seen this happen even before I pastored, that some people would give just to get the pastor's attention. Big amounts, because that would be the way to gain influence in the church. That's one of the main reasons I don't look at the offerings, because I've seen people like that. Okay, I've seen people whose kids have turned away from God when they grew up because they gave more than they should have. And they gave money to the church that they should have spent on their kids and they should have spent on their home and should have spent on maybe taking them for a vacation once in a while or maybe buying them the pair of sneakers that they wanted or whatever, the game box or whatever you call it. Whatever. They should have spent the money on their kids because what they did was they took the bread that was supposed to be eaten and gave it to try to gain influence in the church. And their kids knew that they were suffering. And so what do? They get resentful against the church, resentful against God. Then when they grow up, you wonder why they don't go to church anymore. Wow. You don't think God could foresee those things? That's why he said, this is what you eat, this is what you sow. Don't mix them up. Don't overdo it. Don't ever give more than the Holy Spirit requires you to give. Don't give less, but don't give more. Don't be manipulative with your money. It's going over real big, Don. It's going over real big. Churches get political with stuff like this. I remember, oh my gosh, it had to be years and years and years and years ago. I don't even remember who the person was. Did you notice what I put in the offering last week? No, it's not my business. You didn't give it to me, you gave it to God. Amen. What's it got to do with me? Well, I was hoping maybe I'd get an acknowledgement. Well, go talk to God. You're supposed to give it to him, not me. If you're looking for a thank you card, it's got to come from heaven. It ain't going to come. You understand what I'm talking about here? Why can't make it real? This is real. This is a real part of your relationship with your Father in heaven. Amen. It's not a religious thing. This is real. He wants to know, are you hooked up with me or not? And if you are, let me see the proof of it. Because if you are hooked up with me, then I should be able at any time to say to you, Bill Hershon, the Lord would say to you, but not, this is not saying the Lord, not thus saith the Lord. Unless it's going to be another confirmation like Jimmy back there who blew me out of the water tonight. Okay, Bill, you have an account that I have fed into. I now want to take some of my money out of your account and I want to give it to Tom. Is it not his?
Yes.
You were holding on to it for him though, right?
Yes.
He kept it in your account, marked Hershon,
yep.
But it's his. So he should be able to retain the right to take out of your account, because it was his, and put it in his.
Right.
It's very real. My God, you guys are so quiet tonight. You're going to the electric chair. It's real. And anybody who has operated these principles over the years and has been blessed by God and been protected by God and been increased by God and prospered by God knows what I'm talking about.
Amen.
You got it?
Yes.
I'm done. Oh, man, I didn't realize what time it was. Okay, did we get this?
Yes.
So I don't want to talk about this again for a little while. All right? You guys got to go quickly. Now, listen to me. There's people here tonight that have not yet given their life to Jesus. There's people in here tonight that have not yet given their life to Jesus, and you are in a dangerous position because you are not guaranteed to wake up tomorrow morning. If you know that you know that you know that you have not yet given your life to Christ, you can't gamble with your eternity. It's one shot. That's it. You're not coming back as a cockroach. You're not coming back as. This is it. This is it. From here, we go into eternity. You got to make the decision in this lifetime where you're going to spend your eternity. Please don't gamble. You can gamble with your finances. Don't gamble with your eternal destination. Do not. If you have not yet received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have not declared your faith in him, if you believe he's the Son of God, if you believe he died on the cross for your sins, if you believe that God raised him from the dead, what's stopping you? You already believe everything you need to receive eternal life. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to be dismissed. Those of you that need prayer for that area, you want somebody to pray with you, to lead you in the prayer of salvation, so you can walk out of here tonight knowing that, God forbid, if you take your last breath tonight, that you will immediately be in the presence of God. Please, when everybody else is dismissed, come up here. There's people up here that will pray for you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Go enjoy the rest of this weekend.